Well, good morning, guys.
You know, you're supposed to say something.
I know. The whole timing, the new intro is doing great for me. Welcome, my friends, to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific day, and hope you guys are enjoying thebrowershow.com, all the different articles, episodes, updates we're putting on there on a daily basis. Our new marketing director has been handling this, and it's been doing really good. The Rumble, you click on there, follow us on the different Rumble platforms that we have, all the different shows you can look at here, and with detailed descriptions so you can see everything that we're going into as far as discussions on the show. So be sure to like us, follow, subscribe. We're on Spotify, Gab, iHeartRadio, Podcast, Apple Podcast. We also are putting some more stuff on YouTube. It's
very careful.
Very careful of what we're putting on there.
Are we staying on with it?
Yeah, yeah. So I actually talked to Michael about it yesterday. We're going to do, I think, some more little like short episodes and certain topics we're not going to discuss, the ones that we put on YouTube. But then we might have like, you know, after the hour, like, you know, basically overtime, another 10 or 15 minutes that we're going to have on the show, on the Brower Show, that you can go in. Mm-hmm. We're going to more wilder topics that you can't discuss.
You know, YouTube. It's funny. Years ago, I was on a TV network out of Clearwater.
Yeah.
And I was on with a good friend of mine over there that I've known for many years. And I asked him, I said, I want to come on and talk about who really runs the world.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to talk about Israel. He goes, oh, okay. Because there's, you know, Christian TV, Zionist TV.
Oh, yeah.
And so I went in there and I talked about the ancient Canaanite cult that has ruled the planet now for thousands of years since the days of Noah. And I did 30, yeah. I did 30 minutes on it. And I didn't go into the detail about, you know, the groups of people and who they were, what their ethnic backgrounds were. But I talked about the synagogue of Satan, et cetera. And he had a huge response. He said he had more people ask for a copy of that DVD than any show he'd ever done.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember you telling me about that.
And about 4 or 5 days after it went up, YouTube took it down. Mm. Took it down. So he put it back up again. He said, well, I can't take it down. Put it back up again. Well, then they contacted him and told him that if he put it back up again for the third time, they would take the entire network's programming down.
No, they have that. They have that power, by the way, guys, when you start allowing these guys to run your entire platform.
And I thought, well, that's nice. And so it came down. But I went into detail. And for the first time, he actually gave me a full 30 minutes of just monologue. I just turned loose on it. Me and the camera. And I went into detail. Same thing I talk about on this show.
Yeah.
And, boy, I tell you what, it got some traction quick. By the way, Trump's 140 executive orders has dwarfed predecessors, according to the article out of Breitbart. And what's funny about that, people don't understand, a lot of the 140 executive orders were tit for tat. In other words, Biden came in and got rid of a bunch of Trump's executive orders. So Trump came back in and got rid of Biden's executive orders. And so it's back and forth.
Yeah.
That's why it's so many executive orders. And so what we're doing now is basically we're being ruled by executive order. That's just the fact. Now, we can say, well, you shouldn't say that. That's simply not true. Yeah, it really could be that. And the sad part about it is now they're coming out and saying that they will actually go in if they need to and arrest Supreme Court judges.
That's interesting.
Oh, yeah, this is Carol. This is a big deal. This is Caroline Leavitt refuses to rule out the arrest of Supreme Court judges. The White House press secretary is quietly warning the Supreme Court. The Trump administration is open to arresting Supreme Court judges, as White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt told it on Monday morning. You guys arrested a Milwaukee County Circuit judge for allegedly helping illegal immigrants to get away. Fox News' Peter Ducey asked Leavitt, as you guys look at other judges, would you ever arrest somebody higher up on the judicial food chain, like a federal judge or even a Supreme Court justice? She quotes and says, that's a hypothetical question. Again, I defer you to the Department of Justice for the individuals that are looking at or the individual cases, but let's be clear about what this judge did. She obstructed federal law enforcement who were looking for an illegal alien in her courthouse. She showed that illegal alien the door to evade law enforcement officials. That is a clear out case of obstruction, Leavitt replied. And so anyone who is breaking the law or obstructing federal law enforcement officials from doing their jobs is putting themselves at risk of being prosecuted. Absolutely. The Department of Justice on Friday, arrested a Milwaukee judge. We covered this. Hannah Dugan on charges of obstruction after she allegedly intentionally misdirected federal agents away from Edward Flores Ruiz as undocumented immigrant. He was later arrested outside the courthouse. The Trump administration is showing open and direct hostility toward the judicial branch. That's nonsense. actually trying to stop judicial ruling of the law is what he's trying to do. Identifying any judge who dares to defy them as an activist judge, which they really are activist judges in many cases. The arrest of Judge Duga, the numerous court orders ignored by the administration, the 8 immigration judges who have now been fired or put on leave, and now Levitt's alarming answer are all clear indications that Trump has no plans to reel back his abuse of executive power. I completely and totally disagree with that. I do. I personally believe that if a judge, whether they're appointed for life or whatever they're there for, if they start breaking the law and they start ruling from the bench, they need to be examined and they need to take a look at it. They're not supposed to be making laws. They're supposed to be ruling on existing laws. Yeah. Very, very important that we understand that differentiation. They don't have a right to override the executive branch unless it's a law problem that's being done. They can't be doing that. They can't be ruling from the bench, period.
And the foreign policy is handled by the executive branch as well, as far as what's going on with a lot of these different articles that Trump is talking about. So when you have judges that are coming in and trying to override the president on executive aspects, as far as when it comes to foreign policy, that's completely outside the law of the Constitution. That's not allowed.
They're supposed to be separate branches.
Correct.
They can't be doing
that. This is something I pulled up. I was curious about this. These are executive orders by president. And it goes in, it's interesting, you look like George Washington, he had a total of 8 executive orders. John Adams had 1. Andrew Jackson had a whopping 12. And you go through a lot of these presidents here, and gets to Abraham Lincoln, he had 48. You know, Ulysses S. Grant had 217. And look at, watch this one. Franklin D. Roosevelt, 3,725 executive
orders. He was a communist.
I did not realize he had that. That is the largest amount of executive orders in U.S. history by a president.
But he was in a Great Depression, and he figured he had to go in and just do things.
3,700. And it was crazy as they start running their mouths about how Trump's doing all these executive orders. You go down here, you know, Clinton did 364. Bush Sr., 291. Barack Obama, 276. Donald J. Trump, his first one, was 220. Biden did 162. Trump recently, 143. He's now not outside the scope at all as far as what's normal range, as far as executive orders. He's been throwing some out there, so I want to cover that.
Well, Biden and Trump are both, you know, in the second of 162 versus 143. So Biden did more because Biden had to undo a lot of Trump's executive order, especially as far as the mandates with EV vehicles and the fuel costs and also pumping oil, all the rest of the stuff.
And then Trump had to come back in and do more executive orders to undo what Biden did with his executive orders.
Well, and you think about this, and honestly, it's like a doggone banana republic.
It really is. The last president does stuff, then the new president undoes the stuff the last president did. Then
it's
the president
so
gets
stinking unstable.
Yes.
No, it's horrible.
Well, that's why you go back to here. I mean, you had Washington did 8, Adams did 1, Jefferson did 4, Madison did 1. They didn't rule the executive orders. I mean, this is their entire presidency. You know, I mean, George Washington was in president. He was president for, you know,
eight years.
He did 8 executive orders. And you look at these numbers, they didn't rule like that. I mean, William Henry Harrison, Harrison didn't even do any executive orders. So it's crazy, but I want to put that in
perspective. Well, he wasn't in there very long. He died.
Right. Yeah. Abraham Lincoln did 48.
Well, he had he's a communist also.
Yeah.
And he was best friends with Karl Marx. People need to realize that. Abraham Lincoln was best friends with Karl Marx. And Abraham Lincoln's wife was a Satanist. Yeah. She used to have seances in the White House, just in case you guys needed to know. And a lot of people speculate that Abraham Lincoln had severe mental disorder, which I personally believe on that, too. So, yeah. I mean, what he did with Sherman's March to the Sea
was
unbelievable.
Horrific. Horrific.
You know, and then it was a horrible, horrible
president. Well, the problem was with Sherman's March to the Sea and everything that accompanied with that, it wasn't just directed towards military engagements. It was directed towards civilians. And what they did as far as going in and burning all the food, ruining all the farms, burning all the houses down.
Raping the women.
The women, going and doing Sherman's bow ties, where they took the railroad ties. They basically heated them up and twisted them around trees so they couldn't get any goods in or out of the South at all via railroad.
In that area, that's correct.
At all, done. And you got to remember, that was the main means of transportation of goods and services back then. Mm-hmm. That was the most efficient way to do it. And speaking of goods and services and transportation, this is something that's interesting now. UPS is cutting 20,000 jobs this year.
Tell them why, Austin.
As it slashes Amazon value.
There you go.
So Amazon has done it once again. They've spiked up the market, and then they've ruined it once again. UPS, the brown trucks, the one that we use for next day air, second day air, they're cutting 20,000 jobs, and a dozen UPS facilities as it reduces shipments for e-commerce giant Amazon. They said the reduction is part of a network overhaul in response to lower volumes from our larger customers and also almost virtually zero margins from Amazon parcels it delivers to more than half over 18 months. It says the network configuration is expected to generate $3.5 billion of total cost savings this year.
Well, you think about what they said. Their sales, their shipping has gone way down, and so they can't justify the pricing anymore. They can't justify having these 20,000 workers because Amazon has its own trucks down. It's delivering its own stuff.
And this is the part that I tried to warn everybody about, and it was so frustrating to me because pretty much Amazon was built on the backs of the United States American worker. They were built on the back of the Postal Service. It was built on the back of the government.
It was built by government subsidies.
It was, and now it's gotten so big. And it's a complete and total global retail monopoly. Now it's gone in and saying, oh, well, we're just going to, if you don't give us this price, because that's what they've done now. They've come into UPS. They said, we're not going to do this contract with you unless you give us X amount of numbers, X amount of price. You know, you're going to do our next day airs for $5. If you don't do our next airs for $5, we're not going to use you. We're going to use our Boeings and we're going to use our electric trucks and we're going to use our own shipping department. So let us know if you want to do it. And UPS said basically pound salt. We're not going to ship your next air for $5, you know, anymore. And now you know, Amazon's got its own infrastructure.
Well, over in Lakeland, where we close to where we live, there's a doggone Amazon hub there. It's the airport's turned into a freight airport all day long, in and out, Amazon, Amazon, Amazon. You see the big sun planes. I remember one time I got so frustrated. I'm in my 210, right? Now I'm gonna tell the story. I think you were with me.
Yeah, I was.
And I, you know, my 210 didn't have air on it. But now once you got to 4,000 feet, it was fine. But man, if you take off in August. And, you know, you're in that plane with that engine in front of you, and you got the windows open. But, man, it is hot in that plane.
It gets a little warm.
And so I pull up to basically go into the main runway to taxi over to take off, and the Amazon guy is like a mile away. Now, you think a mile, it can't be that far. Yeah, it is.
It's a
10,000-foot runway. Yeah. Okay, it's like a mile away, and they tell me to hold short.
Yep.
And you can't fuss at them because you get in trouble for that. And I'm like, I'm in there talking to you. I said, hold short. He's a mile away.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there.
And he's sitting there.
No, this is literally half an hour. So we're sitting with motor running.
He's just taxiing.
Now, remember, my motor is air-cooled. You know, it doesn't like sitting like that. So I've got the motor running. We're sweating like we're basically in a sauna. And I have to wait for him to come by. And then he sits there, and he does his pre-flight check at the end of the runway.
On the runway, yeah.
And doesn't even take off.
For another 30 minutes.
And so he blocks everything landing gets blocked because he's about to take off. And we sit there. And I'm like, this is horrible. That's one of the reasons I moved from the Lakeland Airport to the Winter Haven Airport with my airplane because I'd had enough of it.
Everything catered to Amazon.
And then what happens is when these big old 777s or whatever he was flying that day, when they take off, they cause so much air disturbance.
They have jet washes.
They can literally flip a small plane with the air disturbance. And so what you've got to do is you've got to go to full power, you've got to take off, and you've got to get up before they got up because of the turbulence it creates. Even if you wait a couple of minutes, still like that. It's awful. And so it's got to the point that I didn't want to mess with the airport anymore. And a lot of people have moved their planes out of there now. I mean, and guess what? They're the only ones that are allowed to like take off and leave and everything else during the middle of sun and fun.
Any point in time, everybody can. That entire
they stop the entire sun and fun, the largest air show in the world, just so Amazon can take off.
I got to shoot my plane off so everybody can get their packages the next day.
Unbelievable.
Like I said, who else have you ever seen in history that's been able to contract a U.S. Postal Service by the federal government to get their packages delivered on Sunday?
You know, it's funny now.
That made me so mad.
Now, Amazon's delivering so much of their own stuff. I don't see very many postal trucks running around
on Sunday
anymore.
They lost the contract. They don't do it anymore.
Oh.
You notice that? They don't deliver on Sunday anymore. Amazon took that over. They do it now in-house with their own trucks. But I told them, I asked my guys from the reps from USPS, I said, how do I get my packages delivered on Sunday from HealthMasters for my customers? Well, you can't. I said, so you have trucks running. You're burning fuel. You're paying these guys salary. You're paying them hourly to deliver packages. Why can't I be on the same truck on Sunday and get them delivered? Well, because you don't have the Amazon contract. I said, so Amazon gets preferential treatment better than the entire rest of the country because they're Amazon, and they get basically the pickings that they want.
And remember, what was it, $600 million they got from the CIA to run servers?
$600 million contract that houses CIA cloud servers.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we started this yesterday, and we ran out of time because I was kind of like telling too many stories, I guess. Young workers ready to quit, burnout, pay, concerning the driving Exodus. Now, a lot of this has to do with social media, Austin.
Yes, it does.
Because kids, they watch the social media, and they watch Kim Kardashian, and they see her get her Brazilian butt lift, and they see her get her implants, and they see all this other stuff. And they think, we need to have this type of lifestyle. We need to make this kind of money in order to have this type of, you know, exposure on social media.
Yeah.
It's all a lie. Well, not the butt lift and all that stuff. I mean, she looks kind of weird, honestly. But the reality is that, you know, these kids see all of this stuff and it skews their behavioral pattern.
It
now,
does.
Here's in a nutshell. 73% of Generation Z, 73%, and 70% of millennials are looking to change jobs. Now, you're a millennial, right, Austin?
I am a millennial. Tail end of it.
70% of people your age are looking to change jobs compared to only 33% of baby boomers.
Yeah.
Baby boomers, you know, what's left of us. We're pretty stable, highlighting a significant generational divide in workplace satisfaction. Nearly 3 in 4 workers are living paycheck to paycheck. So they see the stuff with the social media, and they don't understand why they're living paycheck to paycheck. Burnout affects 68% of Generation Z workers, but only 30% of boomers, with monotonous work and stagnant pay cited as top factors contributing to workplace exhaustion. Most workers want better pay, 58%, flexible work arrangements, 48%, and policies limiting after-hours communication, 43%, to improve their job satisfaction and burnout. A lot of companies do that. They contact people in the middle of the night. They contact people on Saturdays. They contact them on Sundays. And it makes it very difficult to have a weekend off. We try not to do that at Health Masters at all. The workplace landscape is changing with younger and older employees viewing their careers differently. A survey of 2,000 employed Americans conducted by Talker Research found that 73% of these people are very upset. Burnout hits young workers the hardest. And why is that? Well, most young workers basically don't make enough money, even at minimum wage at all, in order to pay their bills. They've got to go in and they've got to get 2 or 3 roommates, and they have to have their rent subsidized and. But now, let me stop for a second. We all had to do that at 18, 19, and 20. All of us, even in my generation, we always had to get roommates to cover the cost of the rent. We always had to split the utilities. It's just part of life. The problem is a lot of these young workers have been so coddled their entire life that they really haven't had to work. And suddenly they get on their own and they're like, what do you mean I don't get a new vehicle every year? You know,
all these bills. Jeez.
What do you mean I got to pay car insurance? I'm not going to do that. What do you mean? The liability insurance on my car is $100 and I can get that, and full coverage is $250. I'm not going to get full coverage. And then they wreck the car and they total it, and now they have no car again. And I see it over and over. And now Yoss's laughing because he knows it's true.
I've seen it,
you know, in our own family. And then, you know, I remember years ago we had some employees, and one of them was a baby boomer, and also was asking, who do you think we should keep or who do you think we should, you know, promote? And I said, the baby boomer. Because the baby boomer, it never stops working. He's always go, where the other ones will sit there and just chill out and get on their phones. Baby boomer didn't do that. Now you're saying, well, are all baby boomers that go to workers? Well, no, they're not. But most of them are. And they're the ones who control most of the wealth now in the United States because of the fact that they worked hard, because they were given a work ethic when they were young, which we haven't transferred down to the new generations in many cases. Not all kids, but in many cases.
Now, one thing you do have to address, though, because you're right about that exactly, it has not gone transferred down. It's very sloppy as far as my generation has not trained their kids at all. My son works all the time. He's got a pressure washer. He does little pressure washer jobs.
And he's 9 years old.
He's 9 years old. But the issue that we have seen now is the percentage scale of inflation, the cost of items, including groceries, including houses, including cars, has scaled up so much faster than it did back in the 80s and 90s, as far as the cost of things being able to basically purchase them. You know, just 10 years ago, you could buy a really nice house down here in Central Florida for about $150,000. You buy a nice house, I mean, like 2,500, 3,000 square feet. I mean, wasn't difficult to get. Now, a really nice house down here starts off at like $500,000-$600,000. The percentage of how everything jumped up after COVID and how everything was skewed inorganically, especially with BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard buying up all the real estate, has really made it difficult for any of this younger generation to actually purchase a house now.
Okay, let's roll it back a notch. Back in the 60s, the minimum wage is like $1, $1.50 an hour.
Right.
Okay. Fuel, you get gas on sale, you know, at a gas stop for 25 cents a gallon.
Right.
Okay. And what happened is, you know, you could buy a relatively decent little, you know, little house for about $10,000.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what's happened is, as the monetary supply has increased with the M1, and as inflation has increased due to the monetary supply increasing, the value of the dollar has gone down by almost 98% in the past 100 years because of the Federal Reserve Bank. And what that's caused a major skew now as far as the cost of everything. Now, I will also say this: during COVID and before COVID, even after the car, after the housing started going up really, really fast, you know, 8-9 years ago, what happened is a lot of contractors got exceedingly greedy.
Exceedingly greedy.
I'm not picking on contractors, but I will say that they got exceedingly greedy. Instead of, you know, making 10% on a house that was $300,000, they make $30,000 in profit. They wanted to make $150,000. I mean, I saw it personally. They want to make $150,000 to $200,000. Well, then the subcontractors, they saw what the contractors were doing. They got greedy. And they started jacking their prices up. And before long, you know, you had a subcontractor that was, you know, making good money to supply all the needs for his family with no problem. Suddenly, he's quadrupled his cost. Exactly. And I'm telling you guys, I saw it happen. And so because the love of money is the root of all evil, people started maximizing all of this stuff. And then as people decided they weren't going to want to do the kind of work anymore, they wanted to, like, hanging sheetrock, et cetera, then we had the Mexican mafia come in.
Yep.
Okay? And now the Mexican mafia would come in, and they would hang a board for $4 to cut and finished.
Yep.
$4, okay? That's like a 4-by-12-foot board. And all of a sudden, all these other guys, they were charging, you know, $8, $9, $10, $12 a board. They couldn't compete. Well, then the Mexican mafia came in and put everybody out of business. This is what happened with this unbridled amount of people coming into the United States. And now the Mexican mafia raises their cost to twice of what it used to be, or three times what it used to be. And if you don't like it, you don't get your sheetrock undone. And then if you get them mad because they're drinking on the job, and I've seen this personally, they will drill a hole through your roof and mess up your shingles and let the water pour in through it. I mean, I've seen it personally. You know, you say, I don't want you drinking on the job. All right, we'll show you. We'll get right in a valley and drill a hole through the roof. You think, well, they wouldn't do that. I saw it.
Here's basically a comparison right here.
There you go.
You see a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, screen porch.
There you go.
$7,900.
Yep.
This is in the 60s.
That's right.
They said the equivalent now would be around $98,000 in today's dollars.
Now, those look like mobile homes, though. I'm not sure what those are.
I got this one. This basically, this is a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house.
Yep.
This is $12,000 back in 1958.
$87 a month.
Yeah.
But the minimum,
which is equivalent to about $120,000 now.
But the minimum wage is $1.50 an hour.
Right. But that was, if you equate it to now, it would be about $120,000.
It'll be more than that.
That's what they said on here, about $120,000.
I disagree with that. I don't know where. Maybe it'd be.
I can tell you right now, $12,000 in 1960 is not $500,000 now.
No, it ain't that.
A 4-bedroom, 2-bath house now, they're $350,000, $400,000 starting all day long right here in Florida.
And so the kids today, though they're not making $1 an hour, they're making $15 an hour minimum wage in many places now. So it's 15 times more. So, you know, this is going to be more than 15 times as far as what that house would cost now.
Yeah.
And so that's what you've run into. But the reality is they don't want to have 3 or 4 roommates. We had 3 or 4 roommates sometimes. And we had – well, you did too, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you had that one apartment over there. Was it $1,200 a month? You had 4 people in it?
Yeah, three-bedroom, $1,200 a month.
3 people or 4 people?
It was 3-bedroom. We had 3 people.
So you had $4 a month.
We had one guy that lived with us half the time. He was throwing some money.
Okay.
He's one of those college kids. Sometimes
we call them couch floaters.
Yeah.
They float from couch to couch.
Bro, throw some couches, $100 this week. All right, whatever. But again, remember, this all goes back to the basis of BlackRock and World Economic Forum. You will own nothing and you'll be happy. They don't want anybody owning real estate anymore. That's the overall goal of it. So just thought I would throw that out there. And this is an interesting article, too, I saw in New York. Is quietly rolling out pre-crime surveillance technology.
Oh, man, we're talking about Tom Cruise here.
That's exactly what it is.
Minority Report.
If New York wasn't bad enough, they said, essentially, picture this, in rush hour New York City, a guy in a Mets cap mutters to himself on the F-train platform, pacing in tight circles. Nearby, a woman checks her phone 5 times in 10 seconds. Overhead cameras are watching. Behind the cameras, a machine. Behind that machine, an army of bureaucrats who convince themselves that bad vibes are now a crime category. Welcome to the MTA new plan for keeping you safe with AI surveillance system designed to detect irrational or concerning conduct before it happens. Not after crime, not even during, before. The sort of thing in less tech times might have called having a bad day. This is the MTA pre-crime AI platform they are now implementing in New York.
Okay, let's talk about this for a second.
This is creepy.
This isn't necessarily bad.
It's not necessarily good.
No, I didn't say it was good.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. There are a lot of tweakers on those subways.
That is true.
Okay? And those tweakers are shaking. They're sketchy. They're looking around.
That is true.
You know, they're acting like they're
about to. What happened with that Marine guy? Had to end up choking out and killing him.
They're looking like they're going to rob somebody.
Yeah.
They're eyeballing you to see if they can handle you or not. I mean, I've been on the New York subways, and I've seen it. All right? And so when you walk in there, if you're in good shape, you need to be wearing a black T-shirt. I'm just kind of telling you. And so they can see that, you know, you're not going to be, you're not going to be a sweet duck. You know, I told you what happened to me that one time. And I'll tell you the story again. I was in San Diego, and we were in some hotel in San Diego. For some reason, the people who developed and designed the hotel had one of the elevators open to the street, not the lobby.
They already told me that.
It was so – I don't even know if the hotel's in business anymore. This is a long
probably
time
not.
Ago. Probably 30 years ago. And I remember we got on the elevator, Sharon and I, okay? And a guy jumped in as the door was closing, and he was definitely a tweaker.
Yeah.
And Sharon was standing between me and him. And I took my hand, and I took Sharon, and I pulled her behind me. She knew what I was doing. And I looked at him, and I said, dude, I'm not that guy. And he goes, I realize that now.
Yeah.
And I said, I really think that you need to chill it down. He goes, I'm going to. Can you let me off the elevator? Because I was about to, I try not to do that, but I was about to knock him out before he did something, because I knew he was going to do something in the elevator.
Your body language.
His body language. And so if this camera can detect that before it happens, that's why I said it's not necessarily a bad thing as far as the drug use, because, you know, New York's 7, 8, 9, 10 million people. It's bad.
It's been a crime there. But then you fall into the next category. Are they going to start using this to detain people because
I know.
You got flagged on an AI system because, like it says, you're having a bad day.
Yeah.
You're stressed out. You've been dealing with a bunch of contractors. You're irritated. You're opening your phone. All of a sudden, law enforcement, we need to talk to you, sir.
Well, now it turns back into Germany with Gestapo, and people walk up to you, and you're sitting there in a three-piece suit. You're going, oh, God, I can't believe I just got fired.
Yeah.
This is awful, you know? And now you're sitting, and you're all stressed out. You're looking at your phone. All of a sudden, the Gestapo walk up, and they say, we need to talk to you.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk to me about?
You're being detained.
Say, my day already is awful. What do you want to talk to me about now? Oh.
Why are you being aggressive?
Why are you being aggressive with us? And all of a sudden you go, they say, Papiere bitte, which in German means papers, please. And now they say, we want to see your driver's license. We want to see some form of ID. And then all of a sudden you're sitting there three people. Now you're in handcuffs. And now you're on the ground in handcuffs. They busted your nose on the concrete. You're bleeding everywhere. You think, man, when I thought this day sucked, it just got a lot worse. And now you get dragged off for resisting arrest.
There you go.
Now you're being charged with a felony.
Now they found something to arrest you for. And that's the issue you run into
with
pre-crime is once these AIs start detecting anomalies and they start saying, this guy is an essential threat, he's a potential problem, now law enforcement is now looking for a reason to arrest you. This is one of the issues you have with the problems they have with these DUI checkpoints. The vast majority of people on the road are not drinking and driving. But now you have a DUI checkpoint where they're stopping you unlawfully, asking you questions, essentially detaining you, keeping you from being able to travel freely, unmolested, on your way, and now trying to find a reason to charge you with something.
Yeah, sure.
And that's the issue when you start having this, you know, stop and frisk, these AI platforms, all this stuff.
That's why the state of Florida has stopped the seatbelt stops.
Well, those became, well, I mean, you
I got
prime
a clock
example
one of
that.
I'm driving my car one day with my seatbelt on, and, you know, I'm taking Harrison to the BMW dealership to get some ice cream and get the car washed, and we basically are sitting there having ice cream, and the cop walks in and says, you driving that white car? And I said, well, no, it's in the shop. I drove in. You're under arrest. Yeah. You didn't stop at the seatbelt check. I'm like, what? I'm wearing my seatbelt. Oh, yeah, turn into that.
And what happened was seatbelts were never basically you couldn't get a citation for seatbelts. And when the state of Florida came in and said, you can be ticketed for not wearing your seatbelt. Somebody goes, oh, it's good. It's for your safety. Well, then they came in and said, now seatbelts are a reason to stop you. Then they said, oh, now we can stop you just for not wearing your seatbelt. And then it came into, now we're going to have seatbelt checks on the side of the road. If we don't see you wearing your seatbelt, you're being pulled over.
I had to get an attorney involved. I mean, it was a mess. And it was all dropped, of course, but the point was, it was a pain.
And here's the problem.
And I was wearing my seatbelt.
Here's the problem I have with all of it. I'm advocating wear your seatbelt because it will save your life in some
cases. Your seatbelt's important.
So, yeah. But they tell you, we can stop you because you're not wearing your seatbelt for your safety.
And most cops don't wear seatbelts.
They don't wear seatbelts. But Florida's also no helmet law. Florida's also no helmet state. I ride a street bike on the interstate at 70 miles an hour with no helmet. Legally.
70, 100 miles an hour.
Well, I was trying to follow the law.
Well, no, but I was on that interstate one time, and it was crazy. I mean, I was driving 70, 80 miles an hour, you know, whatever. And a doggone crotch rocket came around me about $170.
No helmet.
Well, no, I don't know if he had a helmet or not. He went by too fast.
Glasses.
But I mean, but he had open pipes. And I mean, it went by me so fast, it startled me. It made me change lanes.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, thank God there wasn't somebody beside me.
Yeah.
But I don't see them do that anymore.
They stopped a lot.
I think a lot of them ended up dying from that.
They have.
Oh, by the way, the Texas county where everybody has somebody in their family with dementia.
Oh, boy.
This is interesting. In Starke County, Texas, near the state's southern tip along the U.S.-Mexican border, escaping dementia can feel impossible. The condition that affects about 1 in 5 adults on Medicare, more than double the national rate. Everybody has somebody in their family with dementia, Gladys Master, a neuroepidemiologist who studies aging at the University of Texas in Grand Valley, told me. For Jessica Candle, it was her father, Thomas. He asked her, his eldest daughter, never to put him in a nursing home, which I agree with that. She promised we'll take care of our own, she told me, as Thomas's dementia progressed. The former pastor held to his routines. He played with the 19 grandchildren. That's a lot of grandkids. You need to get busy, Austin. He preached Wednesday night services and had hand delivered donations of rice, beans, and oil across the border. He fed his chickens and sheep. He ate his favorite homemade foods, pineapple upside down cake, enchiladas with saltine crackers, and cream of mushroom chicken over rice, which is loaded with MSG, by the way. Dementia, in many cases, dementia looms in this family tree. Now, they're saying, why in the world does everybody in this town have dementia? And, you know,
sounds like DuPont.
Well, let's talk about it for a second. A lot of this could be groundwater contamination with mercury. It could be groundwater contamination with heavy metals. It could be all kinds of things that they're not talking about or discussing in here. It could also be that the fact that a lot of people in this particular area are eating the same types of foods or the same types of diets. Because we realize that unless you have enough nutrients in your diet, unless you have enough exercise in your life, unless you have enough, you know, discipline in your own lifestyle patterns to avoid things like alcohol, a lot of alcohol, you're going to end up with dementia. It's just something that happens as you get older. And then you got to throw in the COVID shots, which have caused a massive increase in dementia because of the lack of blood flow to the brain and a lot of personality changes due to the COVID shot. So ask yourself a question. Am I taking B vitamins? Am I taking 5-HTP? Am I taking omega-3 fats? And the other thing is, am I drinking enough water? Because not having enough water in your diet, pure water without fluorine and chlorine, is very important to maintain brain health. That's why we found out just a few weeks ago, Austin, that the one product that we sell, the creatine, it massively increases water in the body, and I'm sure in the brain, and it really helps with cognition. So I see it in nursing homes all the time. They put them on drugs that cause dementia. Like six of the top drugs they use in nursing homes all cause dementia. And they don't give them enough water because they don't have to clean up after them. And in many cases, they give them blood thinners. And so on and on and on it goes. My mom was put into the nursing home. I did not have power of attorney on her. I would have never put her in the nursing home. Just I'm going to make that very clear. And what ended up happening is she went in there completely acute, mentally acute, running her own business, everything else. And with 6 months, they had her brain going down quickly. And she was in there for 6 years. I mean, think about that. If she was really that healthy that she could stay in a nursing home for 6 years, she didn't need to be in there for the first 4 or 5 years. She didn't. And what I would have done, had I had power of attorney, I'd have kept her where she was at her own house, and I'd have had some help put in her for her. That's what I would have done. I'd have done a reverse mortgage on her property so that could have been paid for. But the reality is a lot of people who have mothers and dads, they can't do that because they don't have the time, because they're too busy trying to earn a living, and or they don't have the financial ability to do that, and or they don't care. I guess that kind of boils back down to that, too. That's exactly awesome. And so you always ask yourself a question and be careful if you're at retirement age on who you're going to give power of attorney to. This is very, very important. I wasn't planning on talking about this right now, but I am. Because you got to make sure that whoever you give that power to, that they've got your back. And they're not going to get rid of you as quickly as they can, so you'll die so they can get your stuff. Oh, man, I can't believe I just said that. But it's the truth. I see it all the time. Because remember, I mentioned earlier in the show, the love of money is the root of all evil. And I've seen so many families go into full-blown division because somebody died, they left $50,000, and everybody wants the $50,000. And everybody goes into a giant fight. So be careful with your wills, be careful with all of that stuff, and make sure you put the right person in charge. But as far as this dementia stuff, I would be taking the magnesium brain food every single day. Very, very important. We've got it right. In fact, I take it every day because that helps to chelate heavy metals out. Now, how do we know that this area by the border is not being heavily sprayed with chemtrails?
Well, that's exactly what I was about to say, is environmental toxins. You saw that movie, Dark Waters.
Oh, yeah.
Goes into detail with DuPont and their contamination of the groundwater, how they're getting rid of the PFOA toxins. They were literally dumping them out in the river. And all those cows were going nuts. He's having to shoot them. They're growing all these tumors on them. And so when you see stuff like this, where there's a certain area that has a really high population density of these issues, that's a problem. It's a real problem.
It
needs to be looked at. By the EPA needs to get off their butt and actually do something for once.
Oh, they can't do that. They got to get mad at me because I'm pumping water out of a lake.
Yeah.
They got to get mad because there's a pond on my property.
You have a barrel on your property. You're collecting rainwater. We're fining you.
Now, that's a first-degree felony, 15 years in prison. I'm not being facetious now, but what the heck? What are you doing? It's my property. You can't collect rainwater? No.
The EPA's, their main designation of what they originally formed for was stuff just like this. When you start seeing patterns, pattern recognition of certain things that are happening in certain areas of the country, you got to address, why is this happening?
Well, what happens, the EPA needs to be dissolved and the state needs to handle this.
Exactly right.
And that needs to stop. I mean, you know, we really, really do. Because the overreach of the federal government is unbelievable.
And here's the problem with the EPA and their infinite stupidity. every state, every area has different things, different geographical parts that are completely different than others. So giving a federal agency the broad spectrum, you know, just carte blanche immunity, you can do any of this anywhere in the entire country at any point in time. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and plus, too, you know, the aluminum from these chemtrails, it's absorbed directly through the olfaction system to the brain.
The magnesium brain food does so good at chelating those metals
I was starting to get, you know, kind of spacey a little bit. I was getting brain fog.
Yeah.
I started taking that product, gone. No.
Oh, I know. I hear that from so many people.
I mean, within a week, I had no more brain fog. It was unbelievable. And this morning, it was so funny. Van was in here working out with me, right? And I said, do you want a purple stick?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I don't want to get dependent on, you know, purple sticks.
That's a hard product to get dependent on.
And I looked at him, I said, it's
coffee.
It's green tea.
Yeah.
I said, it reduces the risk of cancer if you drink green tea. I'm not making that claim for this product, but I'm telling you, green tea in general has been shown to do that. Plus, it's loaded with vitamins. I said, this isn't coffee. I said, this is something that'll kick you up a little bit, but not, you know, being too addicted. Now, you will get a little bit big. If you drink, eat a lot of these, you know, and like any kind of caffeine, you may get a headache.
Well, the biggest thing is repeatedly using high doses of them. Yeah, that's what I tell people. Use them for what you need them for, but don't start using 3, 4, 5 of them a day, every single day, all the time.
No.
That's why, like this morning, you saw I had my shakers. I didn't have my eggs this morning. I had my Fit Food Vanilla with the purple stick.
I'm out of eggs.
That's the morning. Yeah, I got a few left. I got to go get some more. This is the morning energy kit, though, that we put together.
This product is amazing.
If you want a kick, you want a high protein, 3 scoops of Fit Food with 1 purple stick, perfect breakfast, gets you awake, gets you rolling, gets you good, you know, just blood sugar massively stabilized.
It's better than going to the doggone coffee shop and get a $10 cup of coffee with a donut or a doggone croissant.
Well, here's the problem you start looking at. So a lot of those places, there's even smoothie places, they'll have like protein smoothies in the morning. I've enjoyed some of those before. Some of them are actually fairly clean. The problem was I've never been able to find a clean one for less than like $9, $10.
Oh, usually $15 to $20, yeah.
Well, the problem is you got to think about that. If you're doing, you know, just say a $10 one every day, that's $300 a month you're spending on doggone shakes at a store. You know, this stuff's $50 a can, lasts you weeks. And not to mention, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to burn fuel. You don't have to deal with crowds. You can have it right in your morning, right when you wake up after you do fasted cardio or before you work out or just getting the morning started. So, again, if you're trying to cut costs on stuff, look at handling stuff yourself, not eating out, not going to get these unbelievably expensive coffees.
Don't do Starbucks, please. Oh, gosh. I mean, it's just don't do that. That organization is so liberal. It's unbelievable. I get so frustrated. Every once in a while I go on a date and they go, why won't you take me to Starbucks and get me a cup of coffee? And I'm like, I'll take you to Starbucks, but I don't want to go in, and I'm not paying for the coffee.
Well, the problem is, and I've had it before in the past, especially a lot of their stuff tastes really good because they put so much stinking sugar in it.
Oh, it's chemicals.
Oh, yeah. I've had them for almost, some caramel coffee. I'm like, that tastes really good. The problem is, invariably, about 30 minutes later, I got a doggone headache from it. So my blood sugar spikes.
Yeah, it does.
And so it's just stay away from that stuff. Drink it at home, make it, and save your money. That's my opinion on it.
I completely agree.
This is also interesting health news now. The HHS is now going to start requiring placebo-controlled trials for all new vaccines. I mean, they weren't doing this before.
Well, now you want to explain it? You want to explain what placebo-controlled?
Well, this article, you go into it if you want to detail it.
Okay, a placebo event is this. In other words, and what they do, this is how they basically they lie on their placebo controls.
So it says many vaccines licensed in the United States were tested against other vaccines rather than against placebo.
And that's not a placebo. Okay. What they do, they test them against other vaccines that have already been approved, and they have the same type of horrible side effects.
Yep.
So statistically, when you analyze the data, it doesn't change.
It's not statistically relevant.
No. So what you do on a true placebo would be like injecting, you know, a saline solution.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to give you a saline solution. Okay, that means there's nothing in it but just salt water. It's part of the body's osmotic pressure gradient that it has to have. So it doesn't affect the body. It maintains homeostasis. So it doesn't do anything. So you get a saline solution, but you don't know that. They can pull out a little vial. You know, they don't know. You don't know if you're getting the placebo or you're getting the vaccine, but the placebo cannot hurt you. Okay? That's not what they do here. And what he's saying is you need to be able to use the saline solution as a placebo and then use the real vaccine to see what it really does instead of using a different vaccine that's already been approved. This whole thing is so skewed and so unfair, Austin, and so much a lie as far as scientific methodology and what they do now with placebos. Placebos is saline. That's it. Period. Nothing else.
Well, and this was a problem. I brought this up years ago. This is one of the issues how they got the HPV vaccine approved. Their placebo they were using was a heavily, heavily induced aluminum placebo. So they were injecting placebo saline with enormous amounts of aluminum in it. So when they tested it against the HPV shot, they said, oh, they have the same side effects. So there are no side effects technically on paper. And this is a really, really big issue. So I'm glad HHS is going to start requiring this, because these vaccines that they do, it's completely and totally skewed how they get these shots.
Well, what the vaccine makers are going to do is this. They're going to back out. They're not going to do any clinical trials for a little while until Trump is out of office. And then Kennedy's out.
They only got 3 years.
Yeah, they got 3.5 years left. Yeah, and so they don't look at it to five, because they don't look at it like that.
These shots are in the pipeline 10 and 15 years down the road that they're looking at.
Oh, by the way, Ukraine has signed basically a brokered mineral deal giving U.S. preferential access to resources. Because Trump basically said that Ukraine was done, and if they don't do something, Zelensky's going to be taken out anyhow. And after some last-minute hiccups, which threatened to derail it, the U.S. and Ukraine have finally reached and signed the much-anticipated controversial minerals deal. The deal will grant the U.S. privileged access to new investment projects to develop Ukraine's natural resources, including aluminum, graphite, oil, and natural gas, according to Bloomberg. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and Ukrainian Deputy Prime Minister Yulia, whatever his name is, signed it late in the day Wednesday in Washington after the U.S. side demanded that all aspects on the table be agreed to by Kiev. Lower some of the details. The government, I already mentioned that to you. So that's interesting. They're going to do that. But I don't see any of the rare earth minerals in here that are being listed. So I don't know if anything else is actually being included in this, because we really need access to the rare earth minerals. And I like the fact that Donald Trump has done this, because Zelensky has basically laundered and basically shipped seven. Now, remember, though, Zelensky's not doing this.
Remember,
Zelensky plays the piano with his private parts, naked, running around, okay? This guy's a weirdo. He's a twisted pervert, all he is.
He's a court jester.
He's a court jester.
He doesn't do anything except what he's told to do.
He shows up at a doggone with a green screen behind him, a military garb. That's not even dirty. It's all brand new out of the box. Look at me. I'm such a macho dude. No, he's not. He's a little bitty dweeb that plays naked piano shots. That's all he does. He's horrible. So he's not. It's like Biden. Biden was taking a dump on the platform, you know, and they were having to go change his depends. He wasn't making these decisions. So never think that the person they put in front of you is the person making the decisions. There's always that other Kabbalist, Luciferian synagogue of Satan who's behind the curtain. Always remember that.
Wizard of Oz, man.
No, it's Oz.
Wizard of Oz.
No, it is.
It's the Oz behind the curtain. Yeah. The all-powerful Oz in front of the show. There's guys doing this. He's not doing anything. It's the guy behind the curtain. Pull the levers.
Yeah. And then little Toto runs over and pulls the curtain back and says, and he goes, oh, ignore the man behind the curtain. Yeah. Closes the curtain. Toto pulls it open again. What are you doing behind the curtain? No, you don't see me back here. I mean, The Wizard of Oz is really an interesting, you know, parody of stories. It really is.
That's what a lot of it displays. And you've seen that.
Except
now,
those stinking flying monkeys. They still scare the crap out of me.
Those were a very strange part of the film.
That was weird, man. For the special effects for that far back is unbelievable. I mean, the things were hideous. They used to scare me when I was a little kid. I still don't want to watch the movie because of the flying monkeys. And that witch, you know, she was that ugly that she didn't have to have makeup on. They put green on her, but she looked just like that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She was horrible, bless her heart. Now, but she played the perfect part for that. Why did I get off of that?
I have no idea.
That was the mental break. Just thought of the truth. I did that on purpose. Go ahead, Austin.
The witch. Yes. Yeah, so this is an interesting story. Whether or not this is the real story, which I think this one might actually be real, but this also goes to show you got to ask yourself the question, if sodium nitrite, is this toxic? Why in the world is it even allowed in food?
Because it's been in there for 100 years.
Smith Packing ready-to-eat meal products recalled 18,000 pounds of sausage. It says the market of sodium nitrite levels in these items exceeded the regulatory threshold. The problem was discovered after the firm notified they had received consumer complaints that it was off taste and off color and basically illnesses they needed to contact. They said sodium nitrite is an odorless powder.
Fatigue, dizziness, headaches.
Yep. Used for preserving meat and fish. Say exposure at high levels reduced the body to transport oxygen in the body, leading to fatigue, dizziness, and headaches.
Whoa. I didn't even know that.
No, this is reduced the body's ability to transport oxygen.
It also causes abdominal pain and diarrhea. It also reacts to stomach acid to form nitrosamine, which causes stomach and intestinal cancers.
The recall is classified as a high class 1, which is the most severe recall classified used by the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Now, see, I'm okay with this recall.
That's higher than salmonella. This is like, do not touch it. Don't feed your pets. Don't do anything. Get rid of it.
Is that poisonous? Now, think about it for a second.
That's exactly what I was getting at.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it goes over the threshold. So there's just enough poison in here that you can eat it, but it's right over the threshold where it's going to kill you or make you unbelievably sick if you eat it.
And when you take this product, the sodium nitrite, you combine it with aspartame. I've talked to you about this before. It creates what's called the dicetiopeperazine. Now, whether you wanted to do that or not doesn't make any difference. One day I was going to do this. I was going to put vinegar and baking soda together here, but I just make a big mess. So I didn't want to do it on the show. And I could say to you, this is not going to react. This is going to do nothing. It's going to react. Okay, I've done it before. It's going to bubble up everywhere. When you combine aspartame with this stuff, like a pepperoni pizza and a diet soda, or ham with a glass of iced tea sweetened with aspartame, you form a diketyl pepperazine, whether you want to or not. It's just what it is. And your body's got to deal with it because it's an unbelievable toxin. And that degrades the form of nitrosourea. Now, listen to me, friends. Nitrosoureas are the most effective agent known to man for producing malignant brain tumors in laboratory animals. So if you want an animal to get basically brain tumors, you give it a nitrosourea. And you do that with a pepperoni pizza and a diet soda. What the heck? They know this, by the way. This is some kind of secret.
The law prohibits the sale or transfer of sodium nitrate above 10% concentration to anyone other than a verified business or institutional legitimate need. It also requires warning labels, record keeping, and imposes civil penalties.
Just take it off the market.
Tyler's Law honors 15-year-old Tyler Schmidt, who died after ingesting the chemical he bought online. And we're still putting this in the general food supply?
There's so much more crap in the food supply.
I know this
sodium. If you look, remember that's why I got so mad about that salmon.
Salmon, red 40 and sodium nitrite,
and wild caught salmon, red 40 and sodium nitrite. That's why I said don't buy stuff for that's
look what, at the labels.
If that ever says sodium nitrite,
don't touch it.
It'd be like this. If I took sodium nitrite, I put it in my glass of water, okay, and I just put a sprinkle in there, and it was enough to basically kill you,
yeah,
or poison you or mess you up, and I put another glass of distilled water here beside it, and I said, which water would you prefer? You pick the one without the sodium nitrite. You say, I don't want that stuff, it's poison. Every time I eat a doggone pepperoni pizza or sausage meats that have been cured, it's got that junk in it, unless it's from an organic source. So you think it's like aspartame. It's like anything. It's like aspartame contains methanol. It contains paint thinner. So you take, I'm going to pour some paint thinner in this glass. Why don't you have a sip? Ah, heck no, I'll never drink paint thinner to go blind. Why are you putting aspartame in your drinks? Why are you drinking that stuff? Well, I like the way it tastes. You want to do some paint thinner? You really, and you think, how can it be that people, when they learn that, they continue to drink it, Austin?
I know.
It's the same thing with fluoride. Let's put a little fluoride in here. Oh, yeah, that'd be good, fluoride. Keep my teeth from falling out. No, it doesn't. It's a lie. It'll cause neurological damage. It's a neurotoxin, for heaven's sakes. And the problem is, when you put it in a glass of water, you don't see it. Well, there you go, isn't it? So you go get well water, or you get tap water, or whatever you're drinking. Now you got fluoride in it. I'm so glad, Austin, that Kennedy is coming in now and saying no more of this fluoride in the water. They're trying to do it nationally.
All the fighting, all the conflict, all the chaos that we've gone through
since the 30s and 40s when it started.
Florida. Hoorah, hoorah. We've become the second state in the country to ban fluoride in the water supply.
Well, the entire state?
Entire state.
Yes.
DeSantis backed bill to block fluoride using ignored CDC guidance.
CDC.
Stupid. Florida is going to become the second state to ban fluoride in public drinking water despite concerns from dentists. It's insanity to me. The fact that even Utah is the first state. Florida is the second. You know, I think DeSantis and everybody in Florida, they're like, Whoa.
We're number
one. Utah is not going to beat us on banning something. We're banning it second.
I had no idea that the census was
not away. Well, dude, we've been fighting. We've been talking about it. You know, the city meetings, the commissioner meetings, the state meetings.
This is such a lie right here. Fluoride strengthens teeth by replacing it. It's all lies.
It's a lie. It's complete. There's no research backing any of this at all.
And here's the dentist. A lot of these guys are pretty smart dudes, and I don't understand this. We see direct consequences of fluoride removal has on our patients and the real tragedy. Well, wait a minute. No, they don't. That's all just nonsense. If you want your kids to have healthy teeth, get them off the high fructose corn syrup and sugar.
Get them off the sodas.
The sodas have
the sodas. Yeah. Here's the problem that they didn't discuss. So they say, well, when we've added fluoride and we do this stuff to the water supply, it helps the basically lower income individuals as far as not have as much tooth decay. What they also don't reference is that the lower income individuals that are getting WIC and SNAP and the food benefits, the number one purchased item with food stamps in the United States is soda.
It's crazy.
Soda. Soda. Repeat that. The number one purchased item on food stamps is soda in the United States. So you got yourself the question. What's really causing all these cavities? And so, again, Florida, hoorah, we did it again. Been fighting for years on the years, decades on this. And my thing is this. If you really just are bent on using fluoride, you're just bent. I got to get my fluoride. Walk into Walmart and you got your pick of the litter of toxins on the shelf.
Toxic toothpaste.
Fluoride toothpaste, fluoride mouth. You get as much as you want. I mean, there you go. You have it. Why does that have to be added to the municipal water supply when there is
It's like a drug. Exactly. Well, you know, Prozac's a fluoride compound. Yep. People don't realize that, by the way. Yep. And so Phlexamine and all these different things are in there. They really are neurological poisons. By the way, the U.S. Senate is now going to vote on a bill to rein in Trump's tariffs as economy contracts. This is interesting. The Senate was poised on Wednesday to vote on a resolution that block a host of presidential Trump's tariffs, hours after the federal government reported that the nation's economy has contracted. The measure introduced by Democratic Senator Ron Wyden, of course it was, has a privileged resolution that requires a vote by the Republican-led chamber, would terminate the national emergency that Trump has declared on the basis of a 10% global tariffs on U.S. trading partners and higher reciprocal tariffs on China and the European Union. The resolution is co-sponsored by Republican Senator Rand Paul. And he's really turned into a turncoat, an outspoken critic of the Trump tariff policy. That's one time when the apple fell a long ways from the tree with Ron Paul. But it was not clear whether enough Republicans would support the measure just weeks after four Senate Republicans joined Democrats to pass legislation to terminate new tariffs on Canada. Wyden said many Republicans may not back his measure for fear of being attacked by Trump. That's probably true. They can side with their constituents who feel that these tariffs are hitting them like a hammer. So we'll see what happens with all of this stuff, because I don't think they're going to have the votes to push that thing through, honestly. But the reality is that you got to ask yourself a question. What in the world is wrong with Rand Paul? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, I mean, there's one side of it. A, the tariffs had to be done. You know, 10% tariffs are not going to contract the economy that much. What's caused the biggest issues in the markets has been this giant, how should I say, spitting contest with China. This 145% tariffs, 125% tariffs overnight. These are going to cause a very significant problem with shortages as far as with items in the market. That's not even a question. These 10% tariffs on other countries, this stuff had to happen. And it's going to be minuscule as far as price increases to the consumer. But China's exports to the U.S. now have plunged. They have plunged as the tariffs hit. There's a lot of experts are warning product shortages all across the country now. They said basically the ports, the boats, the ships, everything is basically on halt right now. They're not dealing with it. They can't. The prices, I mean, I talked to a supplier the other day. They were carrying these blenders, and their blenders all of a sudden went from $70 cost to $180 cost, and their retail went from like $120 to like $260. So just what's going to be now?
It wasn't a blender. It was just a container.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that's ludicrous. Nobody's going to buy it. And so what's going to happen is now a lot of these items are not spooled up to be manufactured in the U.S. yet.
They will be, though.
But they will be. But this stuff, as far as this big of a jump with China, this could have been handled a little bit better, I think.
More gradual. By the way, Liverpool footballer or soccer player has been warned for unveiling I Belong to Jesus t-shirt.
He's been warned?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. This is England. Liverpool forward Cody Gakpo scored a goal Sunday in the team's crushing 5-1 over the Premier League. He has now been officially reprimanded for immediately displaying a t-shirt with the message, I belong to Jesus. I like this. The 25-year-old claimed the Reds third in the afternoon, and Anfield is a sealed deal. Straight after he scored, the Netherlanders took off his shirt to reveal a t-shirt that bore the message, I belong to Jesus. I love this. He also displayed it the first time at the jubilant title-winning scenes and engulfed the stadium. The t-shirt message and its font resembled that of A.C. McMillan legend Kaka when he celebrated the Italian Giants, whatever. The Football Association has confirmed it has written to him saying that he will have further punishment if he does this again. I mean, think about it for a second. Here he is proclaiming Jesus from the housetops. Jesus said, he said in the Word, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you.
Yeah.
You know, we're supposed to be talking about Jesus all the time. You know, he's the author, he's the finisher, he's the perfecter of our faith. I mean, you know, without Christ, without Jesus, we wouldn't even have a universe. He put it all together. So they're telling this dude who's playing soccer out there that you can't say I belong to Jesus. Well, I wonder what they would have done if he said I belong to Lucifer.
There you go.
I wonder what they would have said, or I belong to Muhammad. Or I belong to Buddha.
Know, if he said Muhammad, they couldn't say anything about that.
No, but he said
the Muslims are untouchable in the UK.
Well, no, but I belong to Jesus. Well, okay, well, so what? I mean, here I am. I'm Ted Brewer. I belong to Jesus. I will say that boldly. You know, I serve the Most High God. My heart beats for the great I am. I'll say all that. And this show is going to always have, I'm on this show as long as I live, I'm going to always talk about Christ and Jesus and everything else. And I hope that Austin continues that tradition, you know, when I go to heaven to be with Sharon and be up there with God and everybody else. So the reality is this. I am not going to back off my commitment to Christ, period. And I love that the guy did this. He scores a goal, rips off his jersey, and the entire world sees I belong to Jesus. They probably told him he can't point up, he can't pray, he can't mention Jesus. He goes, okay, I'll do it this way. And, you know, Tebow used to make him mad. He would put, like, Philippians 14 on his eyelids.
Yeah.
You know, and made him unbelievably mad. And, of course, they got back at him and decided to go ahead and bump him out. And, you know, and then John Elway got rid of him out there, and, you know, in Colorado. And now John Elway has been basically driving around like a wild man in a golf cart, wrecks the golf cart, and his best friend basically is in intensive care on life support.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So how'd that work out for you, John? Just thought I'd mention that.
Well,
condolences to the family, your friend.
The problem is sometimes, and I've been with buddies on the golf course, sometimes you get a little rowdy racing each other in the golf carts.
Apparently he got real rowdy.
Real rowdy. I don't know how he put some intensive care in a golf cart.
Well, I could,
jeez. Yes, they put a Hayabusa swap motor in there or something? Running 100 miles an hour in a golf cart?
Yeah, I've got one of those little side-by-sides. I think it's got over 100 horsepower. It's insane how fast it is, you know? And, you know, so you got to be careful with those things. You got to be careful not to let your kids drive them and everything else. You train them to do it because they get themselves hurt.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, they're good. They're good to train your kids off-road as far as how to drive, throttle control, and steering.
Here it is. John Elway was driving the golf cart involved in a longtime agent, Jeff Spernick's death. No, he's dead.
He's died?
Now he's died.
How do you kill someone in a golf cart?
Elway said he was absolutely devastated and heartbroken by the death of his longtime friend and business partner. Wow. NFL Hall of Famer John Elway's longtime friend and business partner, the agent, died after sustaining serious injuries from a golf cart accident on Wednesday. The source familiar with details of the incident confirmed to NBC affiliate. Officials not publicly comment on who was driving the golf cart. Elway responded to the death of his longtime statement. I'm absolutely devastated, heartbroken by the passing of my close friend. There are no words to express the profound sadness I feel with the sudden loss of one who's meant so much to me. You know, newsflash here. When you're driving any kind of motorized vehicle, you know, you've got to be careful because there aren't any seatbelts in golf carts. And there are no airbags in a golf cart. And there are airbags and things in many of the vehicles nowadays. But it doesn't matter what you drive. The laws of physics still apply.
They do.
You know, I was on the Autobahn last year. I was at 170 miles an hour. I haven't told you that yet, have I? Now you're looking at me like, are you kidding?
That's legal to drive.
It's legal.
That speed over
okay?
there, by the way.
And suddenly I came into traffic.
Yeah.
At 170 miles an hour, I saw it coming up in front of me. So I got on the brakes, and it was fine. I'm here, but the reality was, it was interesting to me how long it took to slow that car down at 170 miles an hour.
Oh yeah,
it took a few seconds, and I mean I was on the ceramic brakes, and I thought to myself, wow, this is crazy. And I started thinking about what happened, you know, with that one race car driver with NASCAR years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how he hit the wall and he didn't have the proper head restraints on. Bernhardt, yeah. And so, you know, and my condolences to his family for all that. But you got to be careful with physics and be careful with golf carts or any motorized vehicle, especially with dirt bikes. You can get hurt in those things very, very quickly. And sometimes they're life-ending hurts. Sometimes they're life-changing hurts. Be really, really careful.
Dirt bikes are a whole other level.
I still regret having gotten you a dirt bike.
I raced motocross for 10 years. I still have the scars to prove it. It's definitely one of those things. If you want to get your kids into a racing sport, get them into a sport that has roll cages and seat harnesses.
No. You get them on the track, you let them run the 440.
Yeah.
That's a racing sport.
It's on motorized vehicles. You got go-kart racing, you got side-by-side.
And you see these kids now with these electric bikes zipping around 40 miles an hour.
Oh, I know.
Without a helmet on.
Crazy. Yeah. That's actually been I talked about it a couple months ago. There's serious accidents now.
Those things are fast.
You run 40 miles an hour and also you hit asphalt. I mean, it's asphalt and soft tissue don't mix well at high speed.
I still have scars from the asphalt rash from motorcycles.
So be sure, my friends, if you need anything, you know where to get a hold of us at Team Health Masters. Hope you guys are having a fantastic rest of your day. Give us a call if you need anything. And also, too, be sure, make sure you're signing up for the updates. Name, email, Brower Show, Team Health Master, subscribe, and get your updates every single day with different specials we have on there. The D3 product of the week, you voted, it won. As always,
great products.
This product needs no introduction. And also, too, be sure to check out the Stress management kit, really good formula, the adrenal support, the C, and the cortisol buster. And also, too, be sure to check out the early morning energy kit. That's what I was drinking this morning. I usually drink that when I don't get my eggs. That's on sale, too, right now. So be sure to check that out at Team Health Masters, my friend. I appreciate y'all. Y'all have a fantastic evening.
Do you remember when that movie Jaws was on and they were sitting there in that boat talking about scars?
Yeah.
You know, that whole scene was ad-libbed?
Yeah.
That wasn't even in the movie. They just went with
it. Let it rip.
It was great. That was one of the favorite parts of that movie. Oh, by the way. Yes, we're still here. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I pray for you guys all the time. Thank you for your prayers. God bless you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.